this year is being given Li'ilui Nishmas Rachel Leah Bas Reb Chaim Tzvi. Okay. Hello, everyone. Hello. Let's begin. So in the last class, we ended off with a brief discussion of nonverbal communication. I was discussing that Rav Evansel always smiles when he talks Torah to someone, when he gives a shiur. And I mentioned a few ideas there, examples of nonverbal communication. This is an idea that Orlowick discusses in his books and on his tapes. So first we mentioned the beautiful story from Reuven Feinstein, Shlita, when he was discussing that his father, Rav Moshe Zatzal, would lay his clothes on the radiator in the cold winter, so that when he got up in the morning, he had warm clothing to put on when he went to school. I mentioned the example of my mother, who wrote so many letters to me when I was in Israel for those years, for 6 years. And these are classic examples of nonverbal communication. I just wanted to mention a few more ideas that fit in with that idea, which are very, very important. These are all examples from Orlowick. Number one, sometimes a person, the way his life works out, he sends his child away for high school, a dormitory for high school. The way it works out, somehow in your own neighborhood, the schools don't fit in your own neighborhood, so it happens that you send your child away to a dorm for high school. So if Orlowick writes that if your child is in another city away for high school, then it's part of your tuition costs. When you're sitting down to work out your budget for the year, it isn't extra. It's part of your tuition costs to add in the cost it would be to go visit him several times during the year, to take him out for a day and spend a day with him. Something very, very important. That's one example. Very important. If a child's in a dormitory, then the idea of visiting him is crucial. Similarly, along those lines, Rav Volbi Zatzal writes in his Sefer that if a child's in a dormitory, then when he comes home for Shabbos, when he comes home to visit, there has to be tremendous warmth in the home, that he feels that sense of warmth and love when he comes home. These are two ideas. Again, this is examples of showing that kesher, and this is also nonverbal communication, that you're showing how much it means to you to spend time with your child and how it feels when he comes home. So that's one very important example to add to last week's shiur. There's two other examples of Orlowick talks about. Number one, when a father learns with his son. It's wonderful for a father to learn with his son. You learn Torah with your son. We have the Abba Subanim that goes on all over, father and son learning, that goes on all over the world. Orlowick points out that sometimes it happens that a father can be sometimes one of the worst chavrusas for a son. Why? Because there's a pressure. A father feels, I want my son to be this big Talmud Chacham. You know, I didn't achieve that high level, and I want him. And there's a pressure, like to have his son learn more and more. And sometimes that pressure with the learning, it adds tension, and then the child leaves the learning session with a negative taste in his mouth. It's very unfortunate. So Orlowick therefore says to count, and I mentioned last week that Rav Shmuel Auerbach Shlita, one of the Gdolei Ador, he writes, he says over that he remembers from learning with his father, with Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, just the simcha his father had when they learned together. So Orlowick gives very good advice. He tells fathers, when you're learning with your son, let's say you're going to stop at 3 o'clock, your learning session, that's when you plan on stopping, offer to stop 5 minutes early. At 5 to 3, if you're learning well and it's pleasant, so you can offer to stop then. To end on a pleasant note is more important than getting in that last 5 minutes. To end on a pleasant note, like you want to shove in, you want to get in another Tosfos, another few Mishnayos. Orlowick says, in the long run, that feeling, that positive feeling that I had a pleasant time learning with my father is worth more than the extra 5. So it's a very good idea. You know, I made a joke, sometimes the way a person's schedule works, you have 8 minutes to learn with your son. So if you have 8 minutes to learn with your son, then if you knock out the last 5, it's only 3. All right. So you do your best to conquer that problem. But this is a good idea to make the learning session positive, nonverbal communication. One more example. This is a classic example. This is in Orlowick's book. Yeah, there's a story that once there was a we'll call him the father, he was living in Bnei Brak. So the father had a son learning in Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. And he'd go visit in Yerushalayim. The father had, he himself had a father, we'll call him the grandfather. He was an elderly man, and he was in an old age home in Yerushalayim. So the father in Bnei Brak, what he would do is when he would go visit his son in Yerushalayim in Yeshiva, he would, you know, he want to kill two birds with one stone, you know, accomplish two things at once. He would swing by and visit his father, visit the grandfather in the old age home. And that way, you know, it was travel wasn't so easy. It was a very productive way of spending his time. So Warwick writes in his book, he told him, you know, that at least once in a while, when you should visit your son in Yerushalayim and not, dafka, not visit the grandfather. Because, without realizing it, if you always swing by to the grandfather as well, your son's receiving this nonverbal message, yeah, when Abba's coming to visit Zaidi anyway, he swings by and visits me too. So once in a while, you have to show your son, no, I'm coming here just to visit you, even though it makes sense to go to the grandfather also. But again, this is an example where you could be sending the wrong nonverbal message. Just, you know, he's just being productive, but you have to be careful. That's another very good example to keep in mind, this idea of nonverbal communication, sometimes visit the son just for the son by himself. That example comes up a lot. A person is zocha, married, a person has several children, many children. So a person has to try to find time, special time for each child. If you only spend time with child X, when you're also spending with child Y, sometimes you send the wrong message. It's very important to try to find special time, private time for each child by him or herself. Okay, that's just a nonverbal communication. Now back to the Hakdama. So the Chafetz Chaim is discussing why he wrote the Sefer. And he's discussing that Lashon Hara is this terrible Aveira, and Lashon Hara was the main cause of the Golus, and we want to end the Golus and get back to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Now the Chafetz Chaim continues with a further discussion of why Lashon Hara is so terrible. What's so terrible about Lashon Hara? So he writes here as follows. We're in the introduction. We're up to the paragraph, V'kasher Namik. It's around three paragraphs after where we left off in last class. So the Chafetz Chaim makes here a very powerful point. Very powerful point. V'kasher Namik b'zeh ha'inyan, if you look deeply into this topic, Nimsa Yoser, She'amilvad shu'avam kli'li bi'atzmo, aside from the fact that Lashon Hara is such a terrible Aveira in and of itself. It's a very bad Aveira. But it's even worse. It's very bad. Why? Because Regilus hu the kama v'kama anashim, shekoflin es halav hazeh kama meos ve'alofim pa'amim bimei chayehem. Lashon Hara is this Aveira, and it's tragic. It's an Aveira that Orthodox, observant, religious people can violate this Aveira thousands and thousands of times in their lifetime. Thousands and thousands. Somehow this Aveira is wanton. It's hefker. People just do it all the time. And he says, even a small Aveira, if you do it so many times, even a few of Avon Katan, Kesheyachbel Harbi Pa'amim, who nasil of Ka'avos Ha'agol, it comes very, very thick. Even a small Aveira. And this is unbelievable. This is true, by the way. It's hard to imagine another Aveira. A person who's an observant Jew, keeps the Torah. Is there an Aveira that an observant Jew will violate thousands? It's hard to think of other examples. Baruch Hashem, it's hard to think of other examples. But this example is unfortunate. People who are Lashon Hara speakers end up violating this thousands and thousands of times in their lifetime. And it's very, very difficult. The Chafetz Chaim makes a similar point in the Sefer Shmiras HaLashon. Later on, in the Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, I mentioned before, the Chafetz Chaim wrote Shmiras HaLashon as like to be a part of, like a second chelak of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. So again, he points out here as follows. This is in the Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, Shar HaTorah, towards the end of Perek Yud of Shar HaTorah. He writes as follows. He says, if a person keeps the laws of Lashon Hara, then he saves himself from every year from kama meos ve'alafim avonos. He saves himself from hundreds and thousands of averos. And he says here as follows: Afil ma'idei ze lo yismayto b'choyom ki masara tevel shel diburin shlo kahogen. Let's say you learn the laws of Lashon Hara and you save yourself 10 words a day. The Chafetz Chaim, by the way, we'll see this later. He does this a lot. He adds up mitzvos and averos. He to make a point. He'll add them up, 10, 20, 100, you know, how many mitzvahs can you do in 1 minute, in 1 hour? How many averas, Rachmano Litzlan? He does this a lot in his writings. He writes here, let's say you're careful of Lashon Hara, ten words a day you're careful. 10 words a day adds up to over 3,000 words, 3,500 words for a year. He says, Gamkein, Ola Yosem Yishlosh HaSofim L'shama. It's more than 3,000 averas for the year. And there's a Gemara that says if a person speaks Lashon Hara, it's Magdil Avonos Ad L'Shamayim. He has lots of averas up until Shamayim. What does that mean? It means so many thousands of averas. It piles up all the way to Shamayim. So that's one example where he adds up the averos, that even 10 words a day that you save, it's 3,500 approximately averos a person is saving a year. Later on as well in Sefer Shmir HaSaloshon, he does it again. He mentions the idea. This is in Shmir HaSaloshon Chelek Sheni. Chelek Sheni in the middle of Parshas Mitzvah. The Chafetz Chaim at the end of Shmir HaSaloshon goes through all the places in the Chumash where Lashon Hara is discussed, is mentioned, is hinted at. So in Shmir HaSaloshon Chelek Sheni, at the end of Parshas Mitzvah, there's a long footnote. So he says here as follows. He says, and here he goes into more detail of how many words a minute and how many words of Lashon Hara a person speaks. He says here as follows. Let's say a person is unforced and not careful with Lashon Hara. He says, afil bo nechashev harbe tevos. Let's say you don't add up so many words. Ki'im arba v'chamesh tevos bayom. 4 or 5 words a day, which is shloshim tevos v'shavua, 30 a week, which in the course of a year is 1,500. So that comes out to be 1,500 lavin d'araisa. 1,500 lavin. We'll see. That's a real lavin, the Torah, at least. Oh, and he says, just like by Divrei Kedusha, every word is a mitzvah saseh, the Gra explains it. The Chafetz Chaim quotes this in several places. When you learn Torah, every word of Torah is a mitzvah, so too. Just like every word of Torah is a mitzvah, so too every word of Lashon Hara is an avera. So 1,500 averas a year, he says. Oh, then he goes on. V'misai gofen zeh kol yamav. And if you do this a person's whole life, and a person who lives many years, yiskapsa yoser shmonim, more than 80,000. Yoser mishmoni ve'alufi yoser. Oh, it's a frightening idea. And then he says, v'zeh shech yishavnu arba v'chamesh tevo s'payom, 4 or 5 words a day, zeh matzui kima l'kama anashim. He says it's at least that many times. Matzui kama homi masayim tevo s'payom echad. He says some people it's more than 200 words a day. Which is 200 words, if you multiply this by 50, 4 or 5 times 50 is around 200, the numbers become very, very high. So the Chafetz Chaim is warning us, and he's pointing out the severity of Lashon Hara. Every word's an Avera. And it's a very strange, strange is the only word, it's a strange Avera. It's a real Lav in the Torah. It's more than one Lav, as we'll see. And it's a Lav that a person can, Rachmano Litzlan, violate thousands and thousands of times in one's lifetime. That's another reason why it's so severe, and it brought about the Churban HaBayis. And if you want to undo the Gullus and stop the Churban HaBayis and bring back the Beis HaMikdash, you have to stop this very, very severe Aveira of Lashon Hara. Okay. Now, next paragraph. Why? Why is it like this? How is it possible that Lashon Hara became Hefker and wanted that everyone does it? This is a fair question to ask. That's the next question the Chafetz Chaim says. Where have you found such a Lav? How could this be? You don't have other examples, again, where this is in the Torah, you're an observant person, and this Aveira you just don't keep. Next paragraph. How could this Lav be Hefker? What happened? That this Lav is wanton. No one cares about it. People just do it like this all the time. So Chafetz Chaim says, there are two groups of people. For one group, it's one reason. And for one group, it's another reason, and he's going to write his sefer to solve these problems. So number one, he says as follows. Hisponanti, there are several reasons. Lehamon mitzad echad, ve'lalomti mitzad acher. There's the learned people, and the people who are less learned. He says as follows. Hehamon, the general population who aren't so learned, einam yodim klau, she'isr lashon hara afilu al emes. Many people are ignorant of the basic rules of Lashon Hara. The most famous one is, of course, many people don't realize it's us, even if it's true. That's the classic answer. Someone speaks Lashon Hara, that's Lashon Hara. They say, well, it's true. Well, it's still Lashon Hara. So the Chafetz Chaim says some people are ignorant of the basic rules of Lashon Hara, and they're not aware that it's us, or even if it's true. So he's going to write a sefer to teach people what the rules of Lashon Hara are. Now, 100 years later, fewer people believe that because of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. But that was one type of ignorance he was coming to combat. The other group, Ubalei HaTorah, those that are learned, they know that Lashon Hara is us, or even if it's true. But the Yetzirah tricks them in other ways. In other words, the Yetzirah convinces them that that's Lashon Hara, but what this is not, and this is not, and this is not. He gives examples. For example, there's a Gemara that says, the heter of Ape Tlasa. There's a Gemara that talks about, there's a heter in Lashon Hara of Ape Tlasa in front of three people. There's a Gemara that sounds like it says, it doesn't mean this, it sounds like it says that if one speaks Lashon Hara in front of three people, somehow it's less severe. Now, obviously, it's more severe. The more listeners, the more severe it is. So, in that case, you have to learn all the Rishonim, all the Mefarshim, and the Chafetz Chaim has an entire klal, an entire chapter about that Gemara. Klal Beis of the Sefer, we'll get the Bezes Hashem, Klal Beis of the Sefer, the Chafetz Chaim explains what that Gemara means and what it doesn't mean. But on a superficial level, a learned person quotes that Gemara, Ape Tlasa. That's one mistake people make. And he quotes others. So, you have ignorance. Some people are ignorant of the basic laws, and some are ignorant of the nuances of the laws, and even though, and they're learned, but they misquote things. So the Chafetz Chaim says, I'm going to try to solve this problem of the ignorance, and I'm going to write a sefer that spells out the laws of Lashon Hara A to Z, and this will hopefully stop the hefker, stop the wantonness. People will know the basic rules of Lashon Hara, and hopefully, Bezer Hashem, they'll speak less of Lashon Hara. That's the purpose of this paragraph of the Chafetz Chaim. Okay. Then, two paragraphs later, the Chafetz Chaim makes another point. And this is, you know, we can hear people saying this paragraph over nowadays. The Chafetz Chaim understood human nature. And he talks about as follows. He says, this is another problem people have. Let's say you know the laws of Lashon Hara. And you know this is us. You know all everything that's us. So the Yetzirah tries to trick you that with the laws of Lashon Hara, so many things are us. You can't be a normal person, a normal social person, if you keep the laws of Lashon Hara. And if you can't be normal, then you have to, then there's no way that you can avoid breaking the laws of Lashon Hara. Let's see it inside. V'imreu ha-yetzahara. If the Yetzirah sees, she'be'eu inyanim lo yinatzeach l'adam. The Yetzirah can't beat you with these ideas. In other words, you know the rules, Lashon Hara is us, or even if it's true, and you know the various rules of Lashon Hara. The Yetzirah, that's the opposite of the Chafetz Chaim. The Yetzirah tricks you in the opposite way. Shemachmir alav kolkach binyan Lashon Hara. The Yetzirah convinces you that so many things are usher. Ad shemara lo shehakol nechnas b'chol. Everything's Lashon Hara. Ve'im kein iefshar lichyos chayei tevel binyan zeh. It's impossible to live life in this world. We'd say it's impossible to be a normal social person. Unless you totally separate yourself and just become like a hermit and you're not involved with the world at all. Now that's not true. Now most people aren't willing to give up everything like that. So the Yetzirah says, listen, Lashon Hara makes everything usher. This is usher, that's usher. You know, sometimes people say, you know what it's usher to breathe. You know, if everything's usher, it's usher to breathe too. Everything's usher with Lashon Hara. So that's the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is convincing a person that everything's usher. And if everything's usher, you can't be normal. Listen, I'm going to be normal. I have to have friends. I have to be social. I can't keep the laws of Lashon Hara. That's what people say. People actually say this. The Chafetz Chaim says, no. He's going to write his sefer to teach you this is not true. And if you go through the sefer, if you know what's mutter and what's usher, there's plenty to talk about that's mutter. Plenty to talk about that's mutter. And my Rebbe, I've mentioned this before, my Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita points out that one of the biggest chidushim of the sefer is what's allowed and when it's mutter to speak things in the proper way. So this is a mistake that people make, that the Yetzirah convinces you that everything's usher. And then the Chafetz Chaim quotes as follows, V'hu ke'ein dibas hanachash ha'arum sha'amar af kimar alukim lo tochu miko eitz hagan. This is like the cunningness of the Nachash, that the Nachash said to Chava, It's us. Hashem said you can't eat from any of the trees of the Gan. So this trickery, this trick of the Eitz Hara, with this Mirama, that this is Ramos of the Eitz Hara, is similar to what the Nachash did to Chava. What exactly does that mean? What's the Chavetz Chaim here referring to? Oh, he's referring to the following idea. We know that only one tree was Aser to eat from. The Eitz Das Tovara, only that tree was Aser in Gan Eden. And yet, the Nachash said to Chava, Hashem said, you can't eat many of the trees. Well, Chava was very intelligent. What was the Nachash trying to do? So there are different pshatim as what was happening in the Chumash, and what exactly did the Nachash have in mind? Different pshatim. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh there gives the following pshat, and the Or HaChaim HaKadosh's pshat is exactly what the Chavetz Chaim is saying here. What the Nachash said to Chava is exactly, mamash exactly, what the Yetzirah says to us regarding Lashon Hara. This Or HaChaim HaZirach here, it's in the source sheet. It's on the second page of the source sheet, source number 4. So here's the Or HaChaim. Ba lehodia osa yedia achas. The Nachash was trying to teach Chava the following idea, to inform her. Kevan shelo hisiga lecho meitz hadas. If you can't eat from this tree, yihye adavar be'ena ke'ilu eina ocheles mikol eitz hagan. It's as if you can't eat from any tree. Hakavano baze kulan ka'ayin negdo. They're all nothing compared to this tree. V'hayu kulo hay. It's as if they didn't exist. L'golda ma'alaso b'chashivuso. V'hu amro av kemar alukim lo tochu mikol eitz hagan. Ki'ilu nitztavis al hakol. It's as if you're commanded on all of them. Niskavein bazeh lehagdil choshkabo, to raise her desire, to increase her desire for this one tree. Oh. The Nachash was saying to Chava, this tree, these fruits are so good, and they taste good, and they look good. But Rav Hirsch on the Chumash describes beautifully how, based on Chazal, how the tree of the Eitz Hadas, the fruits, were the perfect fruits. This tree, these fruits taste so good that Chava, if you don't eat from this tree, it's as if you haven't tasted any fruit in your life. Life's not worth living. You're not enjoying life. It's as if all the other pleasures in the world are nothing compared to this tree. That's what the Nachash was saying. It's as if you can't, Hashem said you can't eat from any tree in Gan Eden. It's a very powerful idea. The Or HaChaim here is saying, Chava knew only the Eitz Hadas was Aser. And the Nachash was trying to convince Chava that it's as if everything's Aser. You can't enjoy life. You can't be a normal person. Oh. And he says, Zu hamido asher misnahig bo hayetzahara im hanishmaim lo. And that's what the Yetzirah does to us nowadays. That's what the Chavetz Chaim is saying here. The Yetzirah convinces us that if this is us or everything's us, you can't be normal, you can't enjoy life, you can't be a social person if you keep the laws of Lashon Hara. And that's just not true. And one of the purposes of the Sefer is that's not true, to know what's mutter. And here it's very interesting. The Chavetz Chaim was known to be a big talker. He would talk a lot. If he was in a room, in a conversation, he would control the conversation. In my family, we have a term. We call it the time of possession. Time of possession is a term from American football. They have it in soccer, British football as well. You know, which team controls the ball more? So if you have a conversation among two different people, so, you know, you have a conversation, one person controls the conversation more than the other. You know, one person talks, another person listens. So, you know, if you add up, you know, the 10 minutes of a conversation, one person talks for 7 minutes, one person talks for 3 minutes. Okay, so we have that term in our family. Time of possession. So the Chavetz Chaim had a high percentage time of possession. He would control conversations. He was a big talker. It's a known thing. People saw it. Okay. Why? The Chavetz Chaim was one of the greatest tzaddikim. Why did he do this? So here, I heard one idea in high school, and I saw another idea later on. So first, I have my 10th grade high school Rebbe, Rabbi David Hyatt Shlita, a wonderful Rebbe. So he told us in 10th grade that the Chavetz Chaim spoke a lot in order specifically to prove that this taina of the Yetzer Hara, this claim of the Yetzer Hara, is wrong. The Chavetz Chaim knew the laws of Lashon Hara. He didn't speak Lashon Hara. And he was saying, look, I can talk a lot. I can talk a lot. I can interact with people. So the Chafetz Chaim, in his own lifetime, was working to disprove this paragraph, this mistake of the Eitz Hara. It's a beautiful idea. That's what I heard from my 10th grade rabbi. Baruch Hashem, I have a wonderful 10th grade rabbi. I once gave a shiur in my the shul in Israel. I gave a whole shiur, and I quoted Rabbi Hyde there as well and saying something else. A friend of mine came up and said to me, you gave a nice Dvar Torah, a nice shiur. The most impressive thing you did was you actually quoted your 10th grade rabbi. I said, if your rabbi in 10th grade was like Rabbi Hyatt, you'd be quoting your 10th grade rabbi too. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. So that's what Rabbi Hyatt told us. Okay, that fits beautifully. Now, later in life, there is a wonderful art scroll biography on Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal. It's called Rav Yaakov. Wonderful biography. It's like a Musa Sefer. You can read that book over and over again and learn. It's a wonderful Sefer. So in there, they quote that Rabbi Yaakov, it's on page 192, Rabbi Yaakov says it had a different Masorah. Rabbi Yaakov's Masorah was that the Chafetz Chaim was a big talker for the following reason. You know, there's one Aveira to speak Lashon Hara. There's another Aveira to hear Lashon Hara. So the Chafetz Chaim said like this. I know the laws of Lashon Hara, I won't speak Lashon Hara. Not everyone around me knows the laws of Lashon Hara. So if other people are talking a lot, so then I might hear Lashon Hara. So to avoid hearing Lashon Hara, the Chafetz Chaim liked to speak a lot and sort of take over the conversation. All right. That's what Rabbi Yaakov quoted. Rabbi Hyatt quoted this from his Rebbeim, who also came from Europe. So that quote from Rabbi Yaakov is a bit of a different angle. And it could be both are true. It's very possible both Masorahs are correct. Okay, so if you go with it, it says in the Rabbi Yaakov biography, then that approach of the Chafetz Chaim isn't directly related to this paragraph, but according to my Rebbe from 10th grade, then the way the Chafetz Chaim lived is exactly relevant to this paragraph of the Haktam of the Chafetz Chaim. Okay. Let's continue. Now, why the ignorance? Why are people still ignorant of Lashon Hara? It's amazing. This Chafetz Chaim's Haktamah goes step by step. It's a very severe Aveira. It's Hefker. It's wanton. Why? Because of ignorance. Okay, why the ignorance? So he tells you why. Because the laws of Lashon Hara were never gathered in one spot in an organized way. Let's look inside. It's a three paragraphs later. V'chol eilu hasibos, the main reason why people are ignorant. Ikaram hu mitzash kon iska beitz mokam echad inyan Lashon Hara v'ruchilos. It was never gathered in one place. Sheisbar lo echusim v'inyana b'chalein prateim. It organizes all of the laws of Lashon Hara. Rather, mufuzarim b'shas v'rishonim. They're spread out in the Shas and Rishonim. See, this is very fascinating. The Gemara, the Shas Bavli, the Talmud Bavli, it was not written, lehavdil, like an encyclopedia. An encyclopedia, it's organized, alphabetical order, everything about A is here, B, C. That's not the way Chazal wrote Shas, and there are reasons why. This rhyme explained reasons why. So let's say, in when you learn Gemara, let's say you want to learn the laws of davening. The laws of davening, so you have to open up Maseches Brachos, has the laws of davening. Maseches Megillah has some of the laws of davening. Maseches Tainis has some of the laws of davening, but you add in just one answer in different places. So if you want to learn the laws of davening, it's all over Shas. So Shas, Talmud Bavli, wasn't written, like I said, Lahabda, like an encyclopedia. Who organized things for us? The Rambam organizes. The Rambam took all of the places in Shas that discussed Hilchos Tefillah, Hilchos Davening, and put it all together in one spot, Hilchos Tefillah. That was one of the greatnesses of the Rambam, that he did that. And then the Shulchan Aruch was organized, etc. So, the laws of Lashon Hara that are spread all over Shas were never organized like that in that way. They just weren't. The Chafetz Chaim continues. Afilu HaRambam, even the Rambam, who does a little of this, Biperek Zayin Mehilchos Deos, and Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari, Rabbeinu Yonah, one of the great Rishonim, also discusses the laws of Lashon Hara. They paved the path for us in this halacha. They were very brief. The Rambam is very brief. Rabbeinu Yonah is very brief. They don't really discuss all the ins and outs, all the details. It was never done. So the Chafetz Chaim says, the main reason why Lashon Hara is so rampant is because of ignorance. And the main reason for the ignorance is that the laws of Lashon Hara are all spread out. They're disorganized all over Shas. So I'm going to take it upon myself to organize things. Okay, next paragraph. Azarti kegever chalatzai be'ezer Hashem yisbarach. I strengthened myself. Hachonei l'adam das v'kibatzti kol dinei l'ashna ruchilus al sefer. And I organized, kibatzti, I gathered all the laws of l'ashna into one sefer. V'likatati osam mikol ha'makom osam ha'fazorim b'shas. And I gathered them from all the spread out places all over Shas. Uva poskim, uva frat, especially from the Rambam and the Smag, Sharei Tshuva. These are the famous Rishonim. Oh, so that's what the Chafetz Chaim did. That's why he's writing his Sefer. He wants to stop the ignorance. And if there's less ignorance, people will speak less Lashon Hara. And if there's less Lashon Hara, there's a better chance of Hashem bringing back the Beis HaMikdash, which allows us to get back to our purpose of the world. That's the whole introduction of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. Okay. Next. The Karas Yashem HaSefer B'cholol Chafetz Chaim. Why is it called the Sefer Chafetz Chaim? He's getting to the name of the Sefer now. He's coming to the end of his introduction. Al Shem HaKasuv, Miyesh HaChafetz Chaim, the famous pasuk, Miyesh HaChafetz Chaim, Ho'ev Yamim Liros Tov, as we discussed, Netzor Lashon Chameira, to guard your tongue. So the phrase Chafetz Chaim is linked up with guarding one's tongue. So therefore, he called the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. Okay, that's well known. Now, this next paragraph, the next piece of the paragraph is very interesting. And what the Chafetz Chaim is going to say now is widely done nowadays. He wasn't the first to do this, but I think he was the one who really, in many ways, made it famous, what he's about to say now. He made it more popular. Mipnei shelo yakutz hakore b'kriyoso, kol dinu mekoro machmas rov harichus, shenin sebo lefamim. See, these laws are complex. You have the simple halacha, and you have all the details and all the sources. Now, if you put it all together, the halachas and the sources, it becomes confusing. It's long. It's hard to get to the bottom line. Alkein chilakti v'lishnayim. The sefer is split up into two parts, on top and on the bottom. Hapnim hu halacha bekitzer hayodzeis achar ber kaltam. On top is the halacha l'maisa. He calls that mekor hachayim. When you open up the sefer Chafetz Chaim, on the top is the halachos. It's pretty brief, relatively brief. Each halacha is a half a paragraph, one or two sentences. It tells you yes, no, mutter, usser, what to do. Some are a little longer than, some are a paragraph or two. But very brief halacha l'maisa, what to do. That's called the Makor HaChaim. That's the name of the top part of the Sefer. That's what we'll be learning mostly, is the halachas of the Sefer. Why is it called Makor HaChaim? Because speech is the source of life. We know there's the famous Targum Unculus, that when Hashem created man, it says, Vayihu Adam l'nefesh chaya, and there was life. Hashem put life into human beings. And the Targum Unculus says, what is nefesh chaya? What does it mean to be a living neshama? The Unculus says, Leruach memalala. A neshama, a nefesh that can speak. Memalel means to speak. Mimilel, that can speak. So speech is what makes us human. So therefore, speech is in a sense the source of life. So the Chafetz Chaim Sefer about speech, he calls Mekor HaChaim. So the upper part of the Sefer is called Mekor HaChaim. And then, under that, Ubeir Savivlo Yikai B'Shem Be'er Mayim Chaim. The well from which we draw the waters of life. That's the sources. See, when you read the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, he goes through in the sources all the Gemaras and the Rishonim in detail, back and forth with analysis and proofs and counterproofs. It's very exciting. You can learn the whole Sefer Be'iyun Gamor in great depth. But if you would have, but to do that, it takes away from the smooth reading of the halachos. So we split it up into two. On top is the halachos, halacha l'maisa, what to do, what's mutter, what's aser. In the bottom, in the footnotes, he goes into great detail. And this has become, when people write halachos for him nowadays, this is now the standard practice. Take the classic Sefer in Hilchos Shabbos, the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. On top, brief halachos, mutter, aser. On the bottom, footnotes, medium, short footnotes, medium footnotes, long footnotes. Most of the modern English books in halacha, the halachos are relatively straightforward. And on the bottom, the longer footnotes explaining the details. And the Chafetz Chaim, it's a very good idea because it allows the Sefer to be read more smoothly. It also allows the Sefer to be read and learned by people without the strongest backgrounds. You don't have to know how to learn the Gemaras and the Rishonim to learn the Sefer. It's good if you do. And Be'ezus Hashem, during the classes, we'll be going through, we'll be learning the footnotes together, some of the footnotes together. Bez Hashem, to get the depth and the sources of things. But the way the Chafetz Chaim wrote the Sefer, the top part, the Makor HaChaim, you can read on its own. What's Mutter, the bottom line, what's Mutter and what's Aser. So that's the introduction, the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, and that's why he split it up into the two parts, the top part, Makor HaChaim, and the footnotes, which he calls the Be'er Mayim Chaim. Okay. Good. Now the Chafetz Chaim continues. Now, so far we know why he wrote the Sefer, and the name of the Sefer, and he split up into two parts. Now, at the end of the introduction, mamash, the last two paragraphs, he starts talking about the list, the famous list of the mitzvos and averos that are linked up to Lashon Hara. Okay. And he introduces this list. So let's see. It's the second to last paragraph of the Hakdama. Gam chibarti el ha-sefer hazeh psicha aruka u-rechava. I also added to this sefer a long introduction. Mivur kama loving ve'aseyin ragil la'avor misha ein ho nizar me'isr hamar shalashon aruchilus. And there I listed all of the mitzvos and averos, the lavs and the aseys, that a person violates if you're not careful with Lashon Hara. Oh. And then he quotes other examples of Mishnayos and Gemaras that do this. This idea of making a list of the averos, he quotes a Mishnah in the Dharma, a Mishnah in the Menachos. Okay. Why does he do this? We're going to see the Chafetz Chaim has three reasons why he gives us this very long list. Two here, and one he mentions later. Why does he give us this long list? So the first one is the most basic, most obvious one, to scare us. He says, Ulai yitein Hashem, shal yidei kach, yinagef ha-yetzer b'roso, as goda ha-mahuma, me-machshelu, shu-osa al-yidei tiburo. Maybe the Yetzer Hara will be weakened, will be woken up. What's going on here? Look at all the loves, all the affairs that a person does. So the Chafetz Chaim wants to wake us up and realize this is a very severe avera. So if a person realizes it's one avera, it's two, it's five, it's four mitzvahs also, we'll go through the whole list. So it's a little scary. It wakes us up to speak less Lashon Hara. So the simplest reason that the Chafetz Chaim gives for why he gives us his famous long list, it's to recognize the severity of Lashon Hara and wake up and stop speaking Lashon Hara. That's reason number one. Okay. Reason number two, he mentions here in the footnote. And this is a fascinating reason. There's a long footnote here. It's an asterisked footnote. And I'm reading here, it's the very last paragraph of this very long footnote near the end of the Hakdama. This is not the same as the first reason. It's a long line, but it's slightly different than the first reason. Od yimsa toelas gedola, melim rinyanim eru, shayideze lo ye devar zebeinav kehefker. At least it won't be hefker, it won't be wanton. Ve'oz, afil im yi yechas v'shalom nichshal bazel ifrakim. Even if once in a while we'll speak Lashon Hara, einenu b'chal ba'alei Lashon Hara. At least it won't be a ba'al Lashon Hara. In other words, reason number two is, at least a person will speak less Lashon Hara. The Chafetz Chaim here is talking about partial success is also something. Partial success is also something. And this long list, at least it'll wake us up to speak less. Wake up. So this is a nuanced reason from reason number one, that if it won't stop a person totally, at least it'll stop a person somewhat and have partial success. The Chafetz Chaim elaborates on this more, again, in the Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, on page Kaf. Let's find where it is here. It's in the Sefer Shmiras HaLashon. It's in the last paragraph of the introduction to the Sefer Shmiras HaLashon. The Chafetz Chaim comes back to this point and elaborates as follows. And he writes as follows. He says like this. He's talking about, you know, a person, the Yetzer Hara says, look, you want to conquer a certain Avera, but you can't do the whole thing. You can't do the whole thing. You're not able to succeed. Here's what the Chafetz Chaim says. V'chi bishvil shelo uchal lishmor es hamida hazos b'chor patel b'nyaneha I shouldn't try at all. Just because you can't succeed fully, you don't try at all. No. He says, even if you can't do the mitzvah totally, do whatever you can. We find this idea in Chazal that partial success is much better than nothing. And he quotes the Gemara in Makos that Moshe Rabbeinu, there was a mitzvah of separating six Ari Mikvot, the special cities, six Ari Mikvot. And three of them were in Eretz Yisrael and three were on the Eivor HaYarden. Now the halacha is that until all six are separated, they don't function. So Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu set aside three Ari Mikvot on the east side of the Yarden. Outside of on the east side of the Yarden, before they entered Eretz Yisrael, before they crossed the Yarden. Why did he do this? Oz Yov de Moshe Shalosh Arim. It's the Gemara in Makos, he quotes. Hodilano Akasuv, Sha'af al pi sha'ain shalosh shirebe hayarden koltos achev dilu osen shiveret Yisrael. Even though the ones in Eivor HaYarden don't start functioning, and they don't start saving people until the ones in Eretz Yisrael are up and functioning. And Moshe, Yada, Moshe knew what he can say to Israel. Af al pichin amar Moshe Rabbeinu, kol ma'ashe b'kochi lasos e'eseh. I'll do whatever I can. So the Chafetz Chaim here is developing a major yesod. He says it here at the end of Shemeres Lashon and at the end of our Sefer. And that is, partial success is better than nothing. And even if a person says to himself, I can't do this, there's no way I can totally give up Lashon Hara. Well, you got to start somewhere. And we speak less. And that should be the first. That's the first goal. And therefore, the Chafetz Chaim is saying here, I'm writing this list that at least we should wake up. It shouldn't be Hefker. And if you can't stop totally, at least partial success. And it's an interesting idea. The Chafetz Chaim knows. He says, Chas V'Shalom. As he says, you shouldn't speak Lashon Hara. He says, Chas V'Shalom. You shouldn't speak Lashon Hara at all. But it's still partial success is better than nothing. This is actually a major principle, this concept of, you know, some success is better than nothing. So that's reason number two, to help us at least stop speaking Lashon Hara somewhat. Oh, I'll get back to that, Mitzvah Hashem, in a minute. And then finally, the Chafetz Chaim closes the Hakdama. This we already discussed a few classes ago, getting back to the idea of Rabbi Solo Salanter. This we learned already, that when a person is involved in learning halachas in depth, then it naturally has an impact on a person to help him be more careful with that mitzvah, be more careful with that aveira. So the Chafetz Chaim is saying here that by learning my sefer, naturally speaking, you will end up speaking less Lashon Hara because of the idea that when you're involved in learning a topic in halacha, it will help you be more careful in that mitzvah as well. Okay. So now, that's the end of the Chafetz Chaim's Hakdama. Okay. This second point that we mentioned before, that at least we'll speak less Lashon Hara, this is actually a major idea in life, that, you know, a small change is better than nothing. This actually, Rav Orlovich has this in his book, Raising Roses Among the Thorns. This is on the source sheet for class number 5. I just xeroxed a few ideas here that he quotes from different Sfarim, the concept of taking pleasure and getting satisfaction out of small change, a small piece of growth. He quotes here from the Sfas Emes. You have to recognize the importance of each small change. Small change isn't small change. Number one, each level attained is a completely new one. If you're able to speak less Lashon Hara, that's better. Each level is a new level. Well, the reward is tremendous. And he quotes here different ideas that we should learn to encourage others and encourage ourselves to derive satisfaction from taking notice of small changes. And if you feel good about the small success, the small progress that we make, that positive feeling of accomplishment will help spark us and motivate us to do even more and more. He quotes here a beautiful mashal. That the Wrigley Building, a big building in Chicago, he quotes here from Mendel Kaplan's Atzal. So it was built from the profits. They sold bubble gum. What was the profit of each piece of bubble gum? 1 penny. So the Wrigley Building in Chicago was built with the profits from selling millions of pieces of chewing gum at a penny each. From this we see that every small thing is precious. That's a beautiful mashal. A similar idea he has as well from the Sefer HaYashar of Rabbeinu Tam. If he succeeds at this even for 2 months, that is, if he will endure with a smile various difficult situations, he should know and regard himself as a great and successful warrior. Again, the idea that you have to start somewhere, you have to start the fight somewhere, and if we have partial success in doing a mitzvah, or, as the Chafetz Chaim here is saying, partial success in avoiding an aveira, be happy with the partial success, and that will help motivate us and spark us to go further. Okay, so just to review, we discussed a little bit more about the idea of nonverbal communication, and then we went through the Chafetz Chaim's Hakdama, discussing why Lashon Hara is so severe. It's an aveira, unfortunately, that a person could violate thousands and thousands of times in his lifetime. It's totally hefker. Why is it hefker? It's hefker mostly out of ignorance. Why are people ignorant? Because the laws were never gathered and organized in an organized way. And that's what the Chafetz Chaim is doing in his sefer. He organizes the laws of Lashon Hara together in one spot. We can learn them and conquer the ignorance. It's called Makor HaChayim, the source of life, Be'er Mayim Chayim, the wellspring of the waters of life. That's the sources for the Sefer Lashon Hara, the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. The whole Sefer is called Chafetz Chaim because of the Pasuk Netzor Lashon Chameira. And then we discuss, he's introducing the long list of the mitzvahs and averos. And so far we've seen two reasons why he has the long list. One, to stop speaking Lashon Hara totally. Two, at least to make a partial gain. And the Chafetz Chaim discusses the concept of a partial success is also something. And we added that a little bit from of Orlovich's Sefer. And finally, we earlier discussed the idea that the Yetzer Hara tries to convince us that if we keep the laws of Lashon Hara, it's so severe, it's impossible to be normal. And it's not true. A person can be normal and social and friendly, keeping the laws of Lashon Hara as well. Okay, well, we'll stop here.